There are some foods that are so versatile, you can eat them sweet or savory. I'm thinking of crepes, for example, or sweet potatoes, even popcorn. Another food that is pretty darn versatile is the Eastern European dumpling known as the pierogi. And today we're going to take a look at the history of the pierogi a little bit and also a variety of recipes that use non-traditional fillings. Casey Barber, our guest, she's the author of Pierogi Love, New Takes on an Old World Comfort Food, and she's some other cookbooks as well. She's the editor of Good Food Stories, a freelance food writer, recipe developer, and photographer. And Casey, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it very much. I'm going to tell a story on myself to start with here. It's about 20 years ago. I was in Saskatchewan at a kind of a nice restaurant with about 10 other people. And I'm looking at the menu, and I have never seen this word in the appetizer area of the menu. And I say, what are these perigees? And the whole table just burst out laughing. I was the only person who did not know about the pierogi. Do you get a little of that?
Well, we all have to start somewhere with the pierogi.
The pierogi actually has many. Maybe we should just go back and just say, what is a pierogi? I'm sure there are other people who don't know what a pierogi is, and so let's fill them in, so to speak.
Well, you did an excellent base definition by calling it an Eastern European dumpling, because that really, that covers a lot of its bases, and it does go by many names. The pierogi, the kalduny, the vareniki, the pelmeni, these are all dumplings of Eastern Europe and Russia and the Ukraine. And, of course, every mother, every cook makes them slightly differently, but it is a slightly chewy boiled dough that wraps around some sort of filling. I know it sounds very vague, but it really can be filled with a lot more than just the potatoes and cheese that most people think of right off the bat when they think of a pierogi or a perigee.
You know, I was thinking about that, and then I opened the book, and the page I opened to was crab cake pierogies, and I thought, okay, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Now we're talking. Now we're talking. So there, it really is a very versatile food. Is there? Do you have much history of it? I mean, is it from royalty? It doesn't sound like it. It sounded like it has more humble beginnings.
It's very much peasant food. I mean, if you think of dumplings from all cultures, you know, whether it's pot stickers or raviolis or what have you, they all kind of come from that basic everyday cooking, working with the ingredients you have and trying to make the most of them. I mean, I consider them royal food, all of them. They're very important to me, but that's their pedigree.
And you are sort of Pennsylvania, that is one area, and actually parts of Wisconsin, I believe, too, are, you know, given the ethnic background, I'm actually surprised I didn't come across pierogies until about 20 years ago, and then it had to be in Canada.
Well, you know, I was surprised. Yes, I am. I'm from Pittsburgh, and if you know anything about the Pittsburgh area, you know that the pierogi is king there, speaking of royalty. But anywhere you find pockets of Polish or Czech or other Eastern European immigrants, you're going to probably find a pierogi of some sort in, you know, a church basement potluck supper or a local community fair type deal. But I was actually surprised to note when I was doing research to see where pierogies have made it throughout North America that Canada is also very into pierogies, and I'm happy to know that.
Yeah, there it's. I think part of that's the ethnic traditions of some parts of Canada, and I think you have that tradition in, certainly in Saskatchewan, where
yes,
it's quite. You see it on pretty much every restaurant menu in one way or another. So
well, they are filling. They'll keep you warm.
Yeah.
Those of us here on the northern half of the continent.
Well, let's talk. And before we go any further, I want to invite our listeners to join in. Have you ever made pierogies? What have you filled them with? What recipes have you tried? Maybe that were traditional or maybe non-traditional. Any stories connected with pierogies or questions about them, give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org. Or go ahead and post on our Facebook page. Maybe you've got a pierogi photo. Post your photo and or your question or comment on our Facebook page. Our Facebook page title, The Larry Mueller Show. That's the title. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And I guess coming from Pittsburgh, that's probably a good reason just to have developed an interest in pierogies.
It really is. A lot of the first questions that people ask me regarding this book is, are you Polish? And I am not Polish. I have zero Polish blood in me, but I am a Pittsburgher through and through, and it really doesn't matter what your family heritage is in Pittsburgh. If you are a Pittsburgher, you eat pierogies. You also eat halushki and halupki and kielbasi and Permitty Brothers sandwiches and all those wonderful things. It's tied more to the region than anything else around Pittsburgh. So I grew up eating many of them.
Just an aside, I love the city of Pittsburgh. It's a beautiful city for my money. And I like the fact that the Pirates have a pierogi race. We have a sausage.
I love that.
We have sausage races at the Brewers Stadium, and you have pierogi races.
And we've had the... We've had our differences between the sausages and the pierogies in the past, but I hope we can all come together in a tasty detente at some point.
Oh, man. Actually, Jackie in Delavan has a story for us, so let's go to her. Jackie, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
And what have you got for us today?
Well, my family is quite Polish, and we... enjoy Polish sausage and pierogies every Christmas, and we always cross our fingers that they're made on Easter as well, but only for major holidays because they're very time consuming to make. I've made them several times myself with my uncle, and we always do a cheese filling with like a farmer's cheese, and then we always do sauerkraut and mushroom, and the sauerkraut has been cooking all day with the Polish. And then we always do prune, and no one likes the prune ones but my grandma. Because grandma likes them, we always make the prune ones.
That's a great...
Yes. I must confess, I specifically did not put a prune recipe in the book because it's one of the more divisive traditional fillings, isn't it?
Yep, it's out of tradition. My uncle did one time try a catfish filling that didn't go over well.
Oh, my.
Yeah, sounds awful, right?
Oh, Jackie, that's a great story. Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate this. Well, and she mentions that, okay, it's a little bit of work. As I was looking at the, you know, you have a really very nice set of instructions on how to put them together as part of your book. That's practically the first thing in the book. And I think as I looked at it, I thought, you know, it's a little fussy.
It is. It is a little bit fussy.
But not bad. And I thought to myself, you know what, when I make these, because I'm going to try, you know, I'll make them just to see, use your book and do it. But what I figured I'd do probably was, all right, whenever I make these, I'm going to make a batch, not just one batch. I'm going to, you know, once you got the assembly line going, you make a bunch because according to you, these freeze really well.
They freeze fantastically well. That's actually how I prefer to do it, is just to make a big batch and then store them until I need to pull out a few at a time just to snack on or to send off to work with my husband for his lunch meals. Once they're done, they become a really, really simple dish to prepare. All you need is your pot of boiling water. And I think regarding the dough, that it's a nice beginner dough for people who have never made it, not even a pierogi, who have never really worked with dough a lot, because there's no yeast involved, so you're not worrying about that finicky rise time, and there's a decent amount of butter, not as much as probably your grandmother's put in, but the dairy within the dough helps keep it very supple and stretchy, and it's really easy to roll out, so it's fun to play with and, you know, get your pierogi bearings as you make it. Your first batch may take a little while, but you'll get the hang of it very quickly.
That's what I thought. I thought, okay, the first one, is that first single pierogi is going to be a little bit of a challenge, but it's like everything else. You know, you do a few. And you did what? I think you said you made around 2,000 just for the book.
I did. During the book testing process, I estimated about 2,000 throughout the course of the book. And, of course, that number has probably been doubled since the book has come out with the various demonstrations and classes I've been teaching. And I will say, for all you pierogi beginners, I have taught a number of classes around the book. And every single person who's walked in, who's never made a pierogi before, has done fantastically. And within 2 hours, they can whip through their assembly line of pierogies. It is completely doable.
Well, you should come to Wisconsin and do some classes.
I would love to.
That'd be a lot of fun. I'd take your class if you come.
I want to do cheese curd pierogies.
Cheese curd pierogies? That'd be fun. Yeah, that'd be great. You got the right idea, Casey. Casey Barber, our guest today, author of Pierogi Love, New Takes on an Old World Comfort Food. And let's get Jan in Milwaukee's something for us, too. Jan, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. How are you today?
Great. Appreciate it. And you've got a little story for us?
Yep. So first of all, we always pronounce it pierogi, so the R is silent, so it's the Y, pierogi.
Okay.
But my grandma, who lived to be 105, would make pierogis up until about 104, and she had 7 daughters who were all my aunts, and they would get together and make pierogis all day because it was such a process. With her homemade aprons, they'd all have them on, and then when my mom would bring them home, it would be a fight between who got the boiled and who got the fried in butter. And we would eat them with applesauce and sour cream, or we'd also have them with maple syrup.
Oh, man. Do you have photos of that from your, I hope?
Yeah, we do. We do. Yeah.
Boy,
it was wonderful.
Oh,
send one to you on the website. They're really great.
Oh, yes. Please, please do. I would love to see it. Gosh, Casey, do you get stories like this? I bet you do.
I do. I get them all the time, and especially now that we're getting close to the holidays, pierogi making is a big holiday family tradition for so many of the reasons that you just talked about. You know, it brings the family together. You have the opportunity to participate, and you can make mass quantities that you can send home with all of your relatives, too.
Jan, thanks again.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Talking with Casey Barber, author of Pierogi Love, a new cookbook, new takes on an old world comfort food. I'm Larry Mueller. Rebecca Haas, our on-air producer today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Having a lot of fun talking with Casey Barber about her book, Pierogi Love, New Takes on an Old World Comfort Food. Our lines are all filled, and it's great to have that comfort, to have all our lines filled. You can join in, though, when we get a hang-up at 1-800-642-1234. If you've got a photo that relates to pierogies, we'd love to have it on our Facebook page. Go to the Larry Mueller Show for that. And David in East Troy, thank you for waiting. Hello.
Hi, good morning, Larry.
Morning.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Sure thing.
I just wanted to quickly just share my first pierogi experience, which was in it was in New York City and the East Village. It was the first time I ever tried pierogies, and it was actually cherry pierogies. They were cooked in butter and onions, like fried,
mm-hmm.
and then served on the side with I think it was sour cream, and it was extremely decadent, but it was pretty awesome.
Oh, well, that sounds wonderful. Casey, you've got anything like that in your book?
I do, actually, and I
know you do.
Went to Veselka for those pierogies, didn't you? It's such a good place in the East Village.
Oh, yeah.
The sour cherry pierogies are my favorite sweet pierogi, and I don't serve them with onions in the book. I do full sweet with a little creme fraiche to be extra decadent and offset, but I feel like you cannot go wrong with sour cherry in any way, shape, or form.
I love it. David, thank you so much. I appreciate the call. And maybe we should take a minute to talk about what you've got in the book. As we started out, you talk about how to, you know, sort of the basics of what equipment you need, which isn't a whole lot, and the dough. And then you've got savory and sweet pierogies.
I do. I have it pretty evenly divided between the savory and the sweet sides of the spectrum because, as you mentioned, traditionally, it can run both ways. The sweet farmer's cheese that has been mentioned already, the sour cherry are two of the traditional sugary sides, and then the potatoes and sauerkraut, et cetera, on the savory. But I expanded the definition a little bit beyond those. Some of the recipes in the book play up ideas of that tradition. For instance, doing a celery root pierogi with mashed celery root instead of potatoes. Or my personal favorite on the savory side is the Reuben pierogi, which does include sauerkraut, but it also has Swiss cheese and corned beef or pastrami within the pierogi as well.
So that was one that I was going to make for sure.
Oh, that's my favorite. I highly recommend starting there, especially if you love Reuben sandwiches.
I
and
do.
On the sweet side, doing something like a fig and goat cheese pierogi kind of appeases those prune outliers out there, or you could be completely modern and make homemade Nutella to fill a pierogi and serve it with bananas foster sauce. Or because the holidays are coming up, I do have a recipe for cranberry gingerbread pierogies, which are a fun way to bring the sweetness into your meal.
Oh, you're making me so hungry. I tell you.
I'm always hungry.
Peter in Whitewater has a comment for us. Peter, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Looking forward to picking up the book. My mother was Ukrainian. First language was Ukrainian. My wife was born in Poland, so I've been rather steeped in eating pierogies my entire life. But third place that I ran into pierogies, which I thought was an interesting anecdote, is how pierogies became entrenched in the athletic community, in at least the United States, in the 80s and 90s, through the sport of triathlon that I participated in. And back in the 80s and 90s, there was a professional triathlete by the name of Paula Newby Frazier, who was really dominant in triathlons in the 80s and 90s, and she was sponsored by Mrs. T's Pierogies, one of the commercial brands that's easily found in your freezer in most grocery stores. And she kind of introduced pierogies as an athletic food, much like, I guess, spaghetti as a carbohydrate-heavy food. It was promoted in marathoners and the like. So you'd go to triathlons, and frequently they would serve pierogies, Mrs. T's pierogies specifically, at these events. And they became, she was on the cover of the boxes as a sponsor for Mrs. T's pierogies. And I just thought it was an interesting anecdote how pierogies, for a period, at least in the 80s and 90s, became quite entrenched in the athletic community as a superfood for athletes of sorts. So that's just my comment on that.
Oh, Peter, thank you so much. Casey?
That is fascinating. I had no idea, and I'm sitting here. I quickly, you know, did a Google search for this, and this is such a neat side note to pierogies that I've never heard of before.
Well, see, you should talk to Wisconsin Public Radio listeners more often, I guess.
Yes.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks. Sure. Yeah, well, that's a great story. Oh, man. Dolores in Kenosha, your turn. Hi, Dolores.
Oh, hello. I am full-blooded Polish on my father's side of the family, going back to the old country. And on my mother's side, we're German and Irish, which is not adverse to having pierogi. Jan had it right. It is pierogi. Pierozhki, if you are from Russia, and that. Yes. I agree with you. prunes, if you're going to use prunes, they should go in punschki. Which is a whole different
thing. Yeah, it's a whole different thing.
It is.
Now, we've done it, and we've done with, usually potato and onion or mushroom. And it can't be as thin as, the Japanese little things, or it can't be as thick as sometimes ravioli is. It has to be somewhere in between.
Ah, so, and that's about right, isn't it, Casey?
That is, yeah, that's a wonderful comparison right there.
I like...
In some places, I went to a festival, and I was so disappointed because they made what they called pierogi, and it was thicker than the stuff you get in the can.
Well...
I think when you're making them from scratch, you do have that tendency to make not as thin as an Asian potsticker or dumpling, but definitely you have that touch to make them a little more tender and delicate than I think what a lot of the store-bought commercial versions are.
Yeah,
and that's what makes it so good.
Yeah, the commercial ones are a little thicker, I suspect. That'd be my guess anyway. Dolores, thank you so much. Dave in Dunn County, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Dave.
Hello. My grandmother came over on the boat in the early 1900s, and her and all of her sisters were great cooks, and one of them owned a restaurant. Her name was Husar, Tilly Husar, and I think she was Ukrainian or Serbian. I should know, but I don't right now. Anyway, she called them perohe. Perohe.
Perohe.
Perohe.
Perohe, yes.
And she was
H-I or H-Y, yeah.
But she made them different ways. But when I buy the Mrs. T's, which aren't bad, fry them in butter with onions and bouillon, and beef bouillon you sprinkle in there and get them brown and flip them over. And that's how I
How you prepare them. Oh. What do you think, Casey?
I love that idea. I feel like, well, A, you can't go wrong with putting things in butter. And I am a salt fiend. Mm-hmm. I have a salt tooth instead of a sweet tooth. So I love the idea of adding a little extra bouillon to the mix and really bringing out that savory element to it.
I do, too. Thank you, Dave. Let's give Kenneth in Janesville a chance to join in here. Kenneth, hi.
Hello. I overstuffed myself with pierogies that I'm sure have come from the Shumian area, northern area of Poland, but these are deep fried. Just like a filled donut. I mean, not really. I mean, they're flapped over and sealed and all of that. But my favorite was cottage cheese and pineapple.
Mm.
And
deep fried.
Deep fried cottage cheese and pineapple pierogi? What do you think, Casey?
I definitely recommend deep frying pierogies. I do it. I'm not afraid of the deep fryer.
So how long would you throw, they wouldn't be in there very long, would they?
No, they're not in there for very long, and obviously you can use a deep pan on your stovetop. You don't have to buy an electric deep fryer because either way works exceedingly well, but it's really easy. 2 to 3 minutes will get you a nice crispy pierogi, and I love pineapple. I love tropical things. I think that would be a delicious filling.
What about chocolate? You have
chocolate is a. I do have some chocolate recipes in the book, and it's a little more difficult because the wetter or more liquid a filling is, the harder time you have to make that seal on it because things do tend to try to escape out of there. But it's completely possible to get some chocolate fillings inside. And if you're feeling really ambitious, once you've got the technique down, you could try the s'mores pierogies, which are a delicious deep fried.
And you're
in the book.
And on the seal itself, you use a little egg wash or something?
I do. I use, one egg, whisked with a tablespoon of water, just as an insurance policy. The dough wants to seal itself. It's already got eggs and butter and sour cream or yogurt inside. But just a little bit of an extra glue to make sure that that seal holds.
Casey Barber, our guest today, author of Pierogi Love, New Takes on an Old World Comfort Food. You can join him. Finally have open lines again, so we'll give you a chance here at 1-800-642-1234. Maybe you have a story. We've had some wonderful stories shared about experiences with pierogies. What about you? 1-800-642-1234. You can also comment on our Facebook page. Go to the Larry Mueller Show. That's the title of our page. You can post a photo, question, or comment there. We did have a comment from Crystal on Facebook who says, I top pierogies with grilled steak or chicken and a mushroom cream sauce for dinner. Perhaps for dinner tonight, she says.
That sounds like a perfect comfort food dinner for tonight.
I like that idea a lot. So grilled steak or grilled chicken? Why not? Why not?
For both.
The crab cake one really appealed to me. And we actually, you were gracious enough to let us post a recipe or two. And we have the Santa pierogies with pica de gallo, which I...
Yes, they're a nice vegetarian option, in case people want to go down that route. A little bit of green hatch chilies, if mild or spicy. Some black beans and some corn, and you serve them with some homemade salsa on the side.
I love that idea. Bill in Sturgeon Bay has a comment. Hi, Bill. Thank you for calling.
All right, thanks for taking my call. I was looking forward to this show, and I missed the first half hour or so. But
oh!
I was just thinking about my grandmother came over here, I guess, you know, 1908, 1910, something like that. She was from Eastern Germany, right along the Germany-Polish border, Germany and Poland. I guess that whole area went back and forth so many times with Prussia and everything else over the years, so a lot of the delicacies from those two parts of the, or those two countries kind of came together in different things. But my grandmother made pierogies for us whenever she had a chance and kind of talked my mother into making them until my mother realized it's, with a family, you have to make probably about at least 100 of them. It's not like a pasty, but it's just one per person. And our recipe that my grandmother's been using, she always called it peasant food, was depending on what they had, but she really liked, which I guess when she got to this country was a little bit easier to obtain, was she used baker. I don't want to give you the whole, you know, the breakdown of what each amount was, but it was boiled red potatoes mashed up, and then she used baker's cheese when she could get it, fried bacon that she diced up in, you know, nice little pieces, and a pretty fair size amount of onion. And then mixed that all together and made her a little roll of dough and cut it up into little chunks and made out her pierogi, you know, pierogi wraps, which are, I think when they were done, I would say they're probably about 3 inches long and maybe a half inch thick.
Yep.
Yeah.
If that's what she's putting inside of them, one per person would definitely not be enough.
No. No, for sure, but those really
want more.
They really sound good, Bill.
So we always topped it with sour cream, and that was my mother or my grandmother, both of them. And I got into making them too, and then I realized, you know, we got to make a lot more than this and freeze them. Was that they'd boil all of them, and then some of them, my mother or my grandmother would fry, or you know, fry lightly in the grease or oil from the what was left of the bacon, because some of it was like the.
That's the
crunchy.
Best way.
And they were fantastic.
You have to use the bacon drippings if you already have them there.
Absolutely. I never had anything like a dessert type of pierogi till about 10 years ago. I live in Sturgeon Bay. I was down at the Polish Fest in Milwaukee. And like I said, one gal called in and said, prune should be in Prunskis. Well, I go along with that because we're mostly German, but there's some Polish on one side of the family. But they had all kinds of different flavored pierogi. Like I would call it the dessert pierogi, which was quite good. But none of these that you've talked about and I've had ever compared to the, I mean, they're always better than the ones you get in the store. You know, there's just too many. Most of those look like matzo, what do you call it? What do you call those things? I can't think of the term with the Italian.
But not like the pierogies your grandma made.
Right. Doesn't even look like, I can't think of anything. What are those little things? You get it, Chef Boyardee makes them a little, they look like little pillows. They're small.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, but I can't think of the name of it right off the top of my head either. But I'm thinking, Casey, you should be attending that festival. You know, they have that festival every year in Milwaukee.
Yes, there are a number of pierogi festivals around the country that I could just be on the festival circuit all year. I would probably have to bike from festival to festival to work off all the pierogies.
Oh, man. Bill, thanks a lot for calling and sharing that with us. And by the way, you can go to our Wisconsin Public Radio, our website, and you can listen to this. Again, you can listen to the whole show. You missed the first half of it while it'll be out there forever on our page, our WPR.org page. So there you go. And Sue in Wausau, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi.
And what's on your mind?
Well, the way my mom made pierogies back in the day, she's been gone for over 20 years now. But back when we were kids growing up on the farm, my mother was German heritage, but my father, his father came from Poland. And so my mother made pierogi, and she made sour pierogi, and that's cheese, mm-hmm. With the dry cottage cheese. And being from Wisconsin, we poured maple syrup on it.
Oh.
It was absolutely delicious. She taught me how to make them. I have the recipe, but it is a lot of work because you boil all those, you have to roll out that dough and eventually we used just regular cottage cheese because you couldn't get dry cottage cheese for a while, but you just drained it all. And and then you boiled them, and then you had to fry them in butter, but it was with the maple syrup. So when I went to Poland and I brought the relatives there bottles of maple syrup, and when they made me, because I told them that was the recipe that I really liked was the sour pierogi, so they made that for me, and I went and poured that maple syrup on it, and they looked at me like I was crazy. But now every time we come, they ask that we bring the maple syrup because they don't have maple syrup there.
So they like the maple syrup.
Gift.
Oh, and you've got the perfect guest every single time you visit, Sue. That's
exactly.
Oh, that is wonderful. And as I look, I mean, how many recipes? You have a lot. I mean, you got jalapeno popper pierogies and Brussels sprouts and bacon pierogies. Perfect time of the year for Brussels sprouts. They're still
it
in
is.
The store.
Instead of a Thanksgiving side dish, you could just make the pierogies.
Wow, with Brussels sprouts and bacon, I love Brussels sprouts. I'm one of those guys.
I do too.
Yeah, I'm one of those people who loves Brussels sprouts. So your favorite on the savory side was?
It has to be the Reuben.
The Reuben.
There are 60 recipes in the entire book, but I have a soft spot in my heart for the Reuben.
Yeah, I would. I'll be making that one for sure. And
you should make the crab cake ones too, though.
Well, believe me, I'm going to make the crab. I love crab cakes anyway, and so this is going to be fun to put together. What about on the sweet side? Which one is your? Do you have a favorite or two on the sweet side?
I really do love sour cherry, but if you want to move away from the traditional pierogies and try a little something new, I think that going with the Elvis pierogies, which are filled with peanut butter, banana, and bacon, are a really fun departure. And yes, you should definitely deep fry those too.
Oh.
Or, you know, speaking of maple syrup, I love the bourbon maple butter instead of just regular butter to serve with your pierogies. I chose that to go with the pumpkin-filled pierogies, but if you want to do that with your favorite sweet cheese one, again, you cannot go wrong.
We had a Facebook comment from Jamie Lynn, who says, my husband moved to the U.S. from northeast Poland about 10 years ago. Hence, I have become a master in the world of pierogi. Funny, though, here in Chicago, we just go to Alexandra's pierogies on Central Avenue instead of making them by hand.
I will say, in Chicago, I think the number of homemade pierogi retail centers per capita may beat out every other pierogi town in America.
Well, so
they
Alexandra
seem to have a large part.
Well, I was on Central Avenue, so I'm going to have to write that down. Next time in Chicago, I will seek out Alexandra's pierogies on Central Avenue for sure. Oh man, this how's the book doing, by the way? Are you selling lots of copies?
It's doing very well. It's so wonderful to see how many people also have the pierogi love within them. I obviously knew that among the Pittsburgh, Ohio, Indiana, Wisconsin, Chicago belt, that there are a lot of pierogi fans out there. But it's been really great to see the rest of the country embrace the pierogi as well.
Well, I tell you what, I had a lot of fun. I've had a lot of fun going through the book, and it's certainly been a lot of fun talking with you, Casey. And again, I'm challenging you. Maybe you should come next summer to Milwaukee when they have the Polish Fest, and bring your book, and then you can while you're here, you can visit friends here. I know you have some friends here. And
I do.
Offer a cooking class or two in making pierogies.
I will keep you posted of my pierogi travels. I'd love to come out there in the summertime for the festival.
That'd be great, Casey, and I'll be the first one to sign up for your class. How's that?
Excellent. You'll be a pro by then.
I hope. I'll have tried it more than once by that time. Thanks, Casey.
My pleasure. Have a great day. Thanks for sharing the pierogi love.
Thanks a lot for being with us today. Casey Barber, this is really a fun book. I tell you what, and there's so many listeners who've had so many. Thank you so much for all the stories. I think you're going to really enjoy the book, Pierogi Love, New Takes on an Old World Comfort Food. Casey Barber, our guest.